it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can tope.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. 4:02 in the Pacific Time Zone, time for Toker Talk Radio, and I'm going to get right to it because these people are full of shit. Sorry. It's the editorial hour, and I got to call it like I see it. These medical marijuana people, Medical Marijuana Inc. people, are full of shit. This is really frustrating to me, to be told that friends of mine with little girls who got sick on someone's product must have been lying, maybe made it up, got sick from something else. Man, you lost me right there, pal. You lost me right there. Trying to get me to think that some pump and dump stock fraud has the truth and some 8-year-old girl with leukemia is a liar. Sorry, you lost me. And it's not just Michaela. It's not just Brandon Krenzler who got sick. The Hemp Oil Hustlers from ProjectCBD.org opens up talking about a little girl named Jackie writhing in pain thanks to RSHO Gold sold by HempMeds PX. This was given to her aunt, who the company reached out online and gave her free samples to try on her daughter and to tell everybody else all about it. This is a big shell game, folks. This Medical Marijuana Inc., they've got Canna Way, they got Canna Life, they got Canna Vest. They got all these different little shells that they're trading. Do you remember that Beavis and Butthead episode where Beavis and Butthead sold each other the chocolate bar for the same $2 back and forth? That's what they're up to with their stock. Their one shell company will sell stock to their other shell company that'll sell stock to the other shell company that'll sell it back to the first shell company. The people that founded this company, we got Michael Lamas, this guy who was indicted for all sorts of mortgage fraud schemes. Just about everybody I looked up in this report had some sort of taint in their financial background. This Canna Way that they talked about, it was basically Amway for hemp oil. You could actually sign up, and they had all these 11 ranks of commission earners that could reach the coveted status of Royal Diamond Distributor. Folks, my parents went through the Amway bullshit back in the 80s. I remember boxes and boxes of bullshit cleaning products in our house to the whole Amway pyramid scam. Oh man, the more I look into this, the worse it gets. One of the guys listed in this report goes by the last name of Griffin. Let's see if I can... Rob Griffin. He was the founder of 420 Magazine. He was recruited to be Medical Marijuana Inc.'s chief operating officer, but after 6 months, he left saying, quote, "It took me 6 months to figure out that the press releases were the most important thing the company produced. I came up with about half the ideas for these guys, and they'd write the press releases from my ideas. It was all smoke and mirrors." Lamas, like I said, busted for mortgage fraud. He is the one who claimed to be Mr. Mona, a different person, lied about his identity when he was meeting with Brandon and Brave Michaela. Speaking of the pump and dump stuff, did you ever see the movie Wolf of Wall Street? One of the guys involved in this company was actually part of that Stratton Oakmont, or whatever the hell their name group was, that did all the pump and dumps in the movie Wolf of Wall Street. It's just amazing how deep this is going. Here's an example, too. Talking about the money, the guy we spoke to yesterday, Stuart Titus, the CEO, they had a company, Canavest, their stock ticker, CANV, sold. Okay, Stuart Titus, the owner of Canaway's parent company, General Hemp, and a key financier for Medical Marijuana Inc., sold over $4 million worth of Canvest shares in early 2014 as their value reached an astronomical $166.17 a share. $166.17 a share, sold it for $4 million. I went to Yahoo, went to their stock page for CANV, Canavest Corporation, and I found that stock peak, $165 that it was selling for a share. You know what it's selling for today, folks? Today, $2. $2.01 is what it's worth today. And it's been worth about $2.01 since August. Yeah, pump and dump to the extreme in this situation. There's so much more here. Mona, the real Mona, not the fake llamas trying to be Mona, in the article Inside the Pot Stock Bubble in Forbes, he was attempting to sell 10 million shares of that stock for $1.50 each. What else do we got in these guys? Where does the hemp oil come from? They processed imported hemp paste for Medical Marijuana Inc. Imported from where? And they got involved with Dixie for a while. You know, the folks, Dixie Elixirs, Trip Keeber, the Denver Medical Marijuana Company. They got involved for a while. But Dixie took Medical Marijuana Inc. to court for allegedly never handing over all the Medical Marijuana Inc. shares and for breach of contract after Medical Marijuana Inc. allegedly engaged, quote, in a pattern of behavior intended to mislead and defraud investors, affiliates, subsidiaries, and business partners. Tamar Wise, who was formerly Dixie's chief scientist, and by the way, somebody who I know personally, Tamar Wise blew the whistle on these companies after she left Dixie. She posted this, quote, I'm tired of so-called CBD companies claiming that what they provide is medicine. Anyone using CBD from hemp product, please be aware of what you're actually getting because it is not what you think. These formulations start with a crude and dirty hemp paste contaminated with microbial life. I have seen this and these organisms decompose the paste. The paste perhaps even contains residual solvent and other toxins, as the extraction is made in a process that actually renders it unfit for human consumption. What these companies are doing is criminal and dangerous. I cannot keep quiet anymore. And since I formulated most of these products as head of Dixie Science, I feel responsible for spreading the truth. I left Dixie for ethical reasons, but it is not enough to just walk away. These frauds need to be exposed for what they are. Let's keep this industry pure and safe. Now, Wise suspected that Medical Marijuana Inc. was extracting its CBD paste from retted hemp, industrial hemp that had been specifically treated with microorganisms and moisture to dissolve cellular tissue, thereby expediting the removal of the slippery raw fiber, which is used for producing textiles and other goods. Now, Chris Boucher, the director of U.S. Hemp Oil, the subsidiary that supplies the CBD hemp oil to Medical Marijuana Inc., says, quote, She's insane. That's what happens in this business. People shoot arrows at people's back for no reason. Yep. No reason. It's just like Brave Michaela and Brandon Krenzler. Just out of nowhere. Has nothing to do with this company. Just for no reason whatsoever. Coincidentally. Crazy. Insane. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. What else we got here? Oh, I mentioned the price, right? So here's this company that's claiming that its product is legal in all 50 states, right? If its product is legal in all 50 states, it must be pressed from stalk and seed. If it's coming from stalk and seed, the CBD you get out of it is very negligible. In order to get enough stalk and seed to process into enough CBD oil, You're also getting everything else the stalk and seed has gotten into it. And like I mentioned, hemp is a very phytoremediative plant. Now, Andrew can make all sorts of excuses about it growing in the most pristine fields in Europe. But even the most pristine fields in Europe are going to suck up some kind of environmental toxins. Hell, just the air we breathe has environmental toxins in it. So if you're trying to get CBD oil out of thousands and thousands and thousands of stalks of hemp, you're going to get the 0.1 milligram of whatever it is that sucks multiplied times thousands and thousands and thousands of stalks. So a little bit of a problem with that. And if the CBD is coming from the hemp seeds and stalks, and I know that I can get products made of hemp stalks, they're not cheap, but I can get them, right? I can get hemp cloth. I can get hemp press board. I can get hempcrete, hemp herds. They're not cheap, but they're not super expensive. I can go down to the Whole Foods store and get hemp seed oil for $9 an 8-ounce bottle. So another product made with the same stalks and seeds from the same European farms somehow costs $500 for a 2-ounce bottle or whatever the price is. I don't see any reason why the price should be that much higher. And I still have to just, you know, I'm not a scientist. I wish I was. I wish I had more science understanding, more of the medical and the chemistry involved to debunk this. But even just as a layperson, it doesn't pass the smell test. He tried to dance around, well, there's a pharmaceutical route and there's a nutraceutical route. Yeah, but when you're a corporation, your route is profit. Why the hell would GW Pharmaceuticals go through all the trouble of working with cannabis flowers and leaves to get cannabidiol for its medicine, Epidiolex, if it could just get the same thing out of hemp plants? Well, the answer is because it's not the same thing. And this is just, it's building false hope for families. And one of the things that they want to bring up here is, and Andrew brought it up, and it's got to be on their talking points, is that CannaLife does have the exclusive license from the DEA for that patent, number 6630507 that we told you about. They do have that exclusive right to that patent, to develop for that patent. But CannaLife, their executive director, his name's Dean Petkanis. He's got no background in cannabis science. He's got no background in chemistry or medicine or biology. You know what his background was? His professional start was in the 1990s as the CFO of Stratton Oakmont, that penny stock company in the Wolf of Wall Street. It's about money. That's what these people are all about. It's about the money. Now, how did Petkanis, a stock swindler from the Wolf of Wall Street, how did he manage to convince the U.S. government's National Institutes of Health to give them the patent to commercialize CBD? Well, it certainly isn't for his medical background. It's not for his scientific background. I don't know how he did it, but he managed to do it. And they're using that. They're trumpeting that as if they've got this imprimatur from the federal government as being some legitimate company that's working on CBD. Now, the conspiracy theorist in me, the skeptic in me, might think that, you know, if I were the National Institutes of Health, if I were some government organization that wants to make sure that this CBD thing doesn't take off, that it gets as much bad press as possible, maybe I give that patent to somebody I know is going to generate all sorts of bad information. That's just a conspiracy theory. That's just speculation, but maybe that's how that works. There's the part that they are trying to get into the press right now is this whole Stewart Laboratories thing. And that was with Jason Cranford. He's a horticulturist and a CBD-rich strain breeder and a proprietor of a medical marijuana dispensary in Colorado. He developed the CBD-rich strain called Haley's Hope, which became the rallying cry. Haley was the little girl in Georgia who was the rallying cry for all their CBD meds out there. So he was the one that found out about whether he was the one that started asking people on Facebook whether or not anyone was having any problems with this RSHO. That's when Brittany Warrior, her epileptic daughter Jackie, they were the first ones to report the severe gastrointestinal disorder. They filed a complaint with the FDA saying the hemp oil made her daughter sick. The FDA opened an investigation into Medical Marijuana Inc. It was tested at Canna Labs in Denver. The THC level was higher than 0.3%, which meant that it was illegal in all 50 states. But that was the only thing that was wrong. They tested it, had it tested for heavy metals. And this is where he took it to Stewart Environmental. And the initial results confirmed that there was several heavy metals, nickel, selenium, molybdenum, arsenic, and silver. But a few days later, they issued a second report that contradicted its earlier findings. For numbers all pertaining to heavy metal toxins, they were changed from unsafe to safe levels. They maintained that their lab technician erred in his haste to get results for Crawford. But there was no response to a request for a copy of the corrective action report. When a lab makes a mistake in a presentation of fact and then has to correct it, they issue what's called a corrective action report. Nobody's ever seen that from Stewart. Also, they didn't explain why the same lab technician who supposedly botched the first test also conducted the second test when they had two other lab technicians who could have retested it. Lots of red flags here. But they've posted their second set of innocuous test results with the upbeat press release that a top laboratory gave the company's flagship product a clean bill of health. Subsequent testing by other analytical labs, including a DEA and FDA registered facility, would not give RSHO a clean bill of health. Then the report gets to the brave Michaela story, how she got sick on the RSHO. Brandon Krenzler tried it. He got sick on the RSHO. Michael Lamas, the indicted fraudster, was impersonating someone else while talking to them. And it seems to me that their plan here is to get medical marijuana families who have some sort of visibility in the social media or the regular media to start proclaiming their use of this RSHO so it'll spread throughout our community and get everyone involved. And if that's not the worst thing, here's the worst thing. On April 1st, 2014, a Medical Marijuana Inc. press release announced the launch of a new PR campaign aimed specifically at families with disabled children. It was called the Don't Move campaign, and it urged families not to move to states with legal medical marijuana to access CBD-rich cannabis strains because, quote, we are launching the new Don't Move advertising campaign to further increase awareness of the CBD-rich hemp oil products we represent. Rather than move to another state, consumers need only move to the nearest computer or smartphone to order online. How many parents have been suckered in by that line and spent $500 on a bottle of some hemp paste sucked out of the stalks of industrial hemp plants, thinking that's going to help their kid? I mean, I got no problems making money, but as the Project CBD report ends, quote, those who say they're extracting CBD only from the stock of industrial hemp are almost certainly being disingenuous. Either they are bluffing to make it appear as though they are operating legally, or they are extracting the oil in a way that makes a dangerous product more likely. Folks, Medical Marijuana Inc., Cannavest, Canna Life, Cannaway, Caveat Emptor.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Hey folks, it's 420 here in the Pacific time zone. Time flies when you legalize. Time also flies when you're slamming hemp oil hucksters. There is no magic bullet here with your hemp oil, guys. If industrial hemp had any sort of medical properties, we'd have been using it by now. You're trying to take advantage of people who think medical marijuana is the next big thing.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring. I like it like that.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? And keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Yeah, come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Whether it's a vape pen, a pipe, or a bong, you can find it right now on weedshop.com. We got dab rings, nails, and ship it fast. Whipping any of a competitor's glass. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 25 after the hour, and we got Electric Bob on the line for us, bringing me some music to take me down off my anger. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'm angry too. That's bullshit that they're doing that. Like people's lives are in danger because of that.
Yeah.
And they're gonna. Yeah, I think it's total bullshit, and I hope that we as the community can at least put enough word out there to, hey, avoid this stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing for us, I think our community is going to be fine because we're fairly educated and we're fairly communicative with each other. It's the folks, you know, the parent of the epileptic kid who's at their wit's end. They don't smoke pot. They don't know anyone who ever smokes pot. They saw a Sanjay Gupta special. They heard the word cannabidiol and boom, right? That's exactly. The one they're going to get. And that's what pisses me off.
Yeah, I'm in an Amsterdam coffee shop group, and I've seen there's a website in the UK that they want I think it was like $300 or $400 for just a little bottle.
Yeah.
A little itty bitty bottle of some bullshit hemp oil, which in Colorado, in a legal state, I'm pretty sure you can get actual CBD oil for a hell of a lot cheaper than $400 a bottle.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's just sad. And the more I learn about this in every different angle, the medicine angle, the financing angle, the stock angle, everything just reeks of shadiness, man. It's just sad. I hope we've done some work in pointing that out to people today.
At one of the smoke shops I go to, they have like e-juice, and they're like, oh, it's CBD e-juice. But I know it's complete bullshit, and I try telling them, but they won't listen.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to some music, maybe lighten our mood just a little bit. It's Greenleaf, so that already starts pretty good for me.
Yeah, it's Henry Greenleaf. He's out of the UK, and the song he uses like a lot of like old synth stuff, like the 303s and the 909s and stuff like that. It's like a mixture of like acid house sort of and drum and bass.
All right. Looking forward to that. And also want to remind folks that we've got a new schedule here at 420 Radio for May, and the Electric Bob Boogaloo Show, while it's on at 8 p.m. Pacific time tonight, you can also catch it on the weekends at 11 o'clock Pacific time, Friday and Saturday nights. We're moving our music shows to the late nights, and I hope everyone gets a chance to groove on them when those shows are available. What's coming up on the next Boogaloo?
It's going to be a Frankie Knuckles mix. I've been busy with my label and just doing life, so I haven't had much time to actual mix lately, so I'm just going to be replaying that one. And I wanted to tell everyone that we are now taking signatures for legalization here in Arizona.
Right on.
We need 160,000, which I'm pretty sure we can get.
Right on. And is there just one group in Arizona trying to get legalization now?
We all kind of consolidated because MPP and Safer AZ kind of had a rift, but
yeah.
the new language out is pretty good. It's 6 plants, 1 ounce. It's basically Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have one of those home grow halos, does it?
No, because that's what everyone was saying. They're like, oh, now I can grow even being a medical patient with legalization.
That's good.
Because that was the big rift, was the home grow.
Yeah, because I know in Nevada, the thing they've got on the ballot for 2016 in Nevada from MPP has a 25-mile home grow halo. If you live within 25 miles of dispensary, you can't home grow. So glad to hear they got rid of that in Arizona.
Yeah, because we've had to deal with it so long. I kind of feel bad for Nevada.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's get to the music. This is Greenleaf with Next Station, and stay tuned tonight, 8 p.m. tonight for Electric Bob's Boogaloo. Anything else you want to say, Bob?
Everyone have a great day.
All right, man, here it goes. This is Next Station by Greenleaf. Thank you.
20 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
My goodness. Hey, this is Big Daddy. Mm.
I like that.
I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everyone. 36 after the hour. That's some music there from Capsula with Drop the Sound Tester. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio on 420radio.org. We're trying to get online with our friends at The Full Melt, which is another marijuana show. They're out on the East Coast, and they wanted to talk about Washington and Oregon and what's happening to our medical marijuana systems in the face of recreational legalization. I'm dialing out to the show right now. We'll see if we can get connected. My last few attempts have just gone nowhere, but looking forward to talking to those guys. And let's see if we're on the line. This is Radical Russ at 420 Radio.
Radical Russ, cool. Stand by. Hang on, please.
You got it. So we're doing...
I'm going to push the button to connect you to the studio.
We're doing it live, folks.
Are you there?
We are here.
And you sound terrific.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on the program, Russ. I put our other caller on hold while we're talking to you. We got a little bit of a late start today.
Oh, yeah. So sorry about that.
No, it's my fault, not yours.
Oh, okay.
Look, what's happening in Oregon and what's happening in Washington? It seems like medical marijuana rights are at risk. You're out of Oregon. Can you tell me what's going on there? Because it seems like a lot of people are up in arms.
Yeah, I can tell you the Pacific Northwest right now, in the wake of recreational marijuana legalization, is facing increased scrutiny in its medical marijuana programs. And let me start with Washington State, because the situation is probably more dire there and more right. certain. At this point, a bill has recently passed, and Governor Inslee has signed this bill in Washington State that makes radical changes. Well, you know, it might not be fair to call it radical changes so much as institutes some regulations. The medical marijuana system in Washington has been fairly laissez-faire for ever since it began in 1998. It never specified that there would be medical marijuana dispensaries, but economics being what they are, medical marijuana dispensaries came into existence. At first, they used a loophole of the caregiver law. And then when that loophole was closed, they used a loophole of the collective's law. And so now what has passed in Washington State is that these unregulated medical marijuana dispensaries, which have no inspection regulation or pay any sort of taxes, are now facing elimination. The governor signed this law that basically means that there will no longer be such a thing as a medical marijuana dispensary. There will only be I-502 marijuana shops. Those were the ones created by the regulations of recreational legalization. And some of those shops can have a medical certification. Supposedly, this medical certification will mean that the employees in those shops, the bud tenders, will have some instruction, education on how to talk about the medical utility of the plant, as well as possibly requiring these medically certified stores to have to carry more medicinal products, things like salves, tinctures, high CBD products and the such.
And also offer discounts, correct? A 25% discount, isn't that part
of it? No, unfortunately, what's going on here, the Washington State recreational tax was ridiculous. It's 25% at the wholesale, processing, and retail levels, three different levels of 25% taxation. There are two different bills in the Washington legislature right now to reduce that to just one level of taxation. One bill is 30%, the other one's 37%. Both way too high. And this new law would not exempt medical marijuana patients from having to pay that excise tax. They would get an exemption from paying sales taxes, which in Washington State can be, I think, 6.9%, I think. But effectively, since there's local taxes, it ends up being like 8 or 9% in most places. So they would get that tax break, but not the 30 or 37% that's going to pass.
When communities pass high tax rates for either medical marijuana or retail cannabis, don't they, in effect, cause a black market situation that they're trying to eliminate by passing this legality to kind of flourish on its own in a place where they can avoid taxation at high rates?
Yeah, that's one of the real dichotomies. One of the dissonances of legalizing marijuana is we sell it on tax revenues that we could make and eliminating the black market. Those two things are mutually exclusive. If you're making a lot of tax revenue, that means you're charging a lot of tax. If you're charging a lot of tax, that means there's incentive for a black market to undercut that tax.
Well, the idea, black cigarette market. People get busted all the time taking cigarettes from a reservation or a place where the taxes are extremely low and bringing them into a place like New York City where the taxes are really high.
Or you end up like Eric Martin getting choked to death by the NYPD for selling loose cigarettes. Yes, exactly. Any product that has regulation will have a black market. The key is to find that sweet spot where it's taxed low enough that the black market is negligible and we can cope with it, but taxed high enough to make a certain amount of revenues. And the problem with marijuana is under a totally legal regime, marijuana would be as cheap to produce as tea. It wouldn't cost that much. You couldn't raise that much tax money off it. So, yeah, this is a big problem. Other things happening in Washington State is Washington State was the only state, aside from California, that did not have a medical marijuana patient registry. Most states have a mandatory registry. You have to sign up. Some have a voluntary registry like Colorado. California's is done on a county by county basis as a voluntary registry. Washington State was the only one that had no registry. You could just get your letter from your doctor and you were good to go. Well, now this new bill that's been signed creates a voluntary registry. You don't have to sign up. If you don't sign up, you get to possess 1 ounce of marijuana. You can buy 1 ounce of marijuana in the stores. You can grow 4 marijuana plants at home. If you sign up for the registry, you get triple the possession amounts. You can buy 3 ounces, you can possess 3 ounces, and you can cultivate up to 6 plants at home. Problem is, patients up till now have had a limit of 24 ounces and 15 plants. So for them, it's a real cut in what they've been allowed.
And also kind of a danger, because what happens if they get busted after the law changes and they've still got this possession under the old law, now the new law takes effect. Some people are at risk.
Oh, absolutely. And a number of medical marijuana growers I've talked to, these are people, by and large, you know, yes, there are some people that are going to take advantage of any system and game it for profit. Let's take those people aside and talk about the majority of the growers in the medical marijuana field who are really just compassionate people, home gardeners. Maybe they were involved with marijuana back in the day. And nowadays, they're growing marijuana to help sick people that they know personally. So if you are one of these growers donating your time and your talents to try to produce medicine for, let's say, 12 sick people, which of those 12 do you no longer serve when the law changes? When the law changes, you're going to turn to one of those people with cancer or AIDS and say, sorry, can't help you no more. No, these compassionate people are going to keep serving those people and just try to stay under the radar and not get busted for it. And unfortunately, some of them will.
Now, the other thing that people aren't paying attention to, maybe in the rest of the country, but I'm sure they are in Washington, these medical marijuana shops that you say were unregulated for much of the time, a lot of them popped up in communities where the community said, okay, well, we get your point. You need to have access. You need to have safe access. We'll go along with it. But then these same communities said to the retail cannabis shops, we don't want your legal weed here in our city.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this law that closes down these medical marijuana establishments, unless they're able and capable and allowed to apply for a retail cannabis license for the legal market, which in these communities they would not be, this is causing people to have to drive an extended distance to get access to what they were used to getting locally. Isn't this a problem?
Right, right. There are over 300 shops in the Seattle area right now, the unregulated dispensaries, and there are 21 pot shops in Seattle that are allowed. I don't know that there's 21 open. Last I heard there was 4 or 5. So yeah, that's an extreme change when you're used to that kind of access. And
diversity too. I mean, if you didn't like what was here, you could go there or go there or go there.
Right.
Now you got one choice and it's distant.
Right. And I have heard that in this law, I've read it that in this law that the existing dispensaries who have been good actors, who have been in business since before 2013, something like that, are going to give some priority in becoming new licensed pot shops with that medical designation. So they are trying to provide some sort of roadmap to get these, some of the dispensaries into this new regulated regime, but it's by no means going to be all of them for sure.
A lot of adjustment going to be taking place there. Is there anything people could do to fight back against this? Is there any going back?
Well, in Washington State, this Friday on my show, I'm actually interviewing some activists that are putting together a referendum on this to take it to the voters to say, look, we voted on medical marijuana in 98. That medical marijuana said that patients should be able to have a 60-day supply. And these new rules, these new laws, effectively are nullifying what the people voted for in 1998. So they want to put together another vote to have people reaffirm what medical marijuana should be in the state. That's who you could get involved with. That's the lady's name is Sarah Frank, S-E-R-R-A, Sarah Frank, and Billy Fisher. I'm sure you can find them on Facebook if you look, and that might be the next place to be putting our efforts.
It's kind of sad that you got to go back and do what you already did before. It's a very expensive, very draining, very time-consuming process to organize these efforts to get laws changed. Isn't this a model where legislators in other states could say, look, if we do the retail thing too, we could wipe out the medical marijuana thing? And isn't this a threat in other places if this holds?
It could be. You know, the real threat, though, is just the nature of marijuana itself. It's unlike anything else. I mean, liquor is something that we go to stores to buy, to party with, and have a good time. Medicine is something we go to pharmacies for, that doctors keep very, and pharmacists keep very strict control over medicines that help us. Marijuana is somewhere in both of those camps. So it kind of makes it hard to maintain these dual regulatory schemes, dual supply systems, when you're talking about essentially, in most cases, a fungible product. I mean, yeah, there are salves and tinctures and oils and CBD things that are specifically for certain patients with certain conditions. But really, the white fire OG that helps the cancer patient eat is the same white fire OG that gets me high. So it makes it difficult to try to maintain two separate systems. I think as we move toward the future, legislators are going to look at having combined systems, and especially in states that haven't yet passed medical marijuana, I think they may look at, let's just do the whole kit and caboodle at once. If I could wave a magic wand, there'd be one supply system, there'd be one set of regulations, one set of stores, but the patients would get tax breaks, they wouldn't have to pay stupid taxes. The stores would have, I like the medical recommendation idea. I think that's great to have stores with specific, you know, medical certifications that can help patients out. But they should have much higher possession limits. They should have the right to grow much more plants at home. They should not be subject to these crazy excise taxes. We'll just have to see how it all shakes out.
So let's look at Oregon.
Yeah.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes.
Sorry.
That's quite all right.
We're running a show within a show, and my automator kicked off on me. My apologies.
I've got the same thing going on here, brother. So for the people who don't know, I didn't explain well on this end. Russ is live on his show out of Oregon, and we're live on this show, so we connected our shows together to kind of consume this topic together, and I thank you for coming on to do that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We're kind of bi-coastal at the moment.
I love it. Coast to coast.
Coast to coast. That's right. All right, Oregon. What's going on?
844-6.
Yeah, what's happening in Oregon? There was a bill, 936, that was going to do to Oregon's medical kind of what Washington's done to its medical, and that is to vastly reduce the plant counts, come up with regulations on where the grower should be, where the dispensary should be, and so forth. And the people of Oregon, the patient community and the marijuana community in general, rose up and fought that. I was there. I testified in Salem. They were giving us only 2 minutes each to testify, and we took up the entire 2 hours. So at least 60 people testified. We had two overflow rooms filled, and the hearing room itself was filled while we were testifying. So they backed off that 936. They said, "Oh, it won't do that." But then they took 936 and resurrected it as a series of amendments they put into this other bill, 844, and they put it in last Friday, like 4:40 p.m., when nobody would have a chance to look at it, 89 pages worth of stuff, trying to bury it, thinking we wouldn't notice. Well, we noticed, and they have been barraged. The Oregonian, our leading newspaper, has been talking about how the legislators have been barraged with emails and calls about these 844-6 amendments. What the amendments would do. The biggest thing that's in them is that it would limit current medical marijuana growers who live in cities to only be able to grow 12 plants in the city. And if they lived outside of a city, they could grow 24 plants. Our law allows you to have six mature plants per patient that you're serving. So in essence, what this would do is reduce the city growers to 2 patients each and the country growers to 4 patients each. This was in reaction to some really huge grow sites that got some news. One in particular that was for 104 patients, and none of those patients were from Oregon. They were all from California. That generated some negative headlines. The legislature wanted to attack that. But in doing so, they're really just putting the most vulnerable patients at risk. There's over 5,000 patients in Oregon who get their medicine from a grow site that serves more than 2 patients. So somewhere along the line, 5,000 patients are going to get told, "We can't serve you anymore." And are they expected to go to the dispensaries? Well, these 56% of the patients in the Oregon medical marijuana program are on food stamps, Social Security, or disability. So they're not the kind of people who can afford to go to a dispensary. And especially when these are the people that they're not like me, I can buy an ounce and it's going to last me a while. These are the kind of people that are using an ounce every 2 ounces a week. They can't afford to spend $200 plus whatever the taxes end up being to be able to take care of themselves. It's just really sad. So that's one of the things that they're trying to do. There's some other things in the Dash 6s. Let me see if I can look those up while we're talking.
Yeah, that's quite all right, because this is kind of what we have to do in referencing this information.
Yes, yes. So that was the main problem. Oh, another problem with these Dash 6 amendments is they want to require the medical marijuana growers, even the personal growers, to maintain records, kind of track all of their grow, you know, how much they harvested, who they distributed it to, and so forth. And they want them to keep those records for 7 years.
It's like the dang IRS.
Now, for comparison's sake, in the state of Oregon, a pharmacy dispensing oxycodone only needs to keep its records for 3 years.
Quite a difference.
Yeah, just a little bit. And you're really expecting some, you know, maybe Vietnam vet who has a green thumb, who grows a few plants to help a couple cancer patients in, you know, he's growing it in his basement. We're really expecting that guy to keep file cabinets worth of records for 7 years? Really? No, these people are just going to go back to the black market. They're going to go back to doing it under the radar like they used to.
Well, if you hamper a medical patient too badly, if you make it more expensive or you make it less accessible and there's a guy next door that's got very much, you know, something that will help you, isn't it quicker to go to the guy next door?
Oh, that's exactly what's going to happen. And with the levels that we, the levels we've got in grows here in the state, as far as, you know, the recreational folks, people like me, will be able to grow four plants in our house. Medical growers will still be able to grow six plants, so long as, you know, things stay the way they are. And
three flowering and three vegetables.
No, six mature, 18 immature.
Okay.
And according to our legal counsel, they tell us that a patient would also be able to grow the four plants they get for recreational. So they'd actually have 10 plants they'd be able to grow in their own home. So yeah, the idea that someone's going to put up with a whole bunch of record keeping requirements and high taxes when the home growers are going to be growing like crazy, it doesn't make any sense.
Russ, I just got a couple minutes left before our commercial break. And so I wanted to throw in the devil's advocate point of view before we hit that break. Playing devil's advocate, wouldn't these legislators say that our action, despite the people's wishes, despite the people's will isn't regulatory enough. And the federal government is pressuring state governments to regulate, tighten it down, make sure it's highly regulated, and then the feds will leave your states alone. Isn't that where they're acting from?
Yeah, that's the argument they bring to us all the time, is that we have to abide by the Cole memo, which says we have to, you know, make sure that marijuana is not getting diverted out of state. The thing is that the Cole memo has always been in reference to states that are legalizing marijuana, not so much the medical side. And Oregon has been pretty safe as far as not being raided by the DEA or busted by the feds in any way. So they're concocting a threat, I think, that isn't too viable a threat. I mean, it always exists that we could get raided, but it hasn't really happened in Oregon. So that to me seems like scaremongering in the purposes of trying to get people to want to accept some of these terms.
Russ Belville from 420radio.com. Thank you for coming on the program. Our commercial break's about to hit, and I don't want it to hit your ear.
No problem. 420radio.org.
.org, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
.com thing. 420radio.org, the Russ Belville Show. Thank you so much for explaining this to us, because there's a lot of inquisition going on, mm-hmm. and we needed your help into straightening out.
Well, anything I can do, I'm always here for you.
Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Take it easy. All right, so there we go. That's the Full Melt. You can find them at thefullmelt.com, and who knows, they may end up on the 420 radio feed someday soon. We're going to take a break. Actually, we're not going to take a break, because we're almost out of time. I just looked up at the clock and realized, oh my gosh, we are almost out of time. We might as well just stay with you. So let's just stay with you here on 420 radio as we wind up the day. I'm getting some responses back from people online regarding my interview with the hemp meds people, and or the hemp oil hustlers, I should say. And Kathy on Facebook liked to say, wow, you did a good job keeping your cool during the interview, especially when the guy denied that your friends got ill. Like, yeah, it was really good stuff here. And Dustin in the chat room also said it should be interesting. Thank you also, everyone in the chat room who's been backing me up on this. I tell you, going into this, yesterday's interview with the CEO, I want to apologize a little bit, because I didn't go in fully loaded. ready to go with this guy. I really just researched just that one topic he was talking about, this one report. And I did think it was important that, you know, if a false report had been issued, it should be corrected. But I really could have gone in there with more guns blazing yesterday. So given the opportunity to talk to one of their guys today is when I went back and did some more in-depth research on this stuff. And the more I researched, the angrier I got. And I started to wonder, like, is this how Mike Wallace used to feel? Y'all know Mike Wallace, right? The veteran CBS newsman who was on 60 Minutes for so long. And it used to be when Mike Wallace was knocking on your door, some shit was going to go down. Like, your ass was in a sling. You were going to get called on the carpet. Because if Mike Wallace was knocking on the door, by God, they'd uncovered something and you did something bad. And that's something I was feeling today. Like, how am I going to go into this interview with this guy, knowing what I know, thinking what I think, feeling what I feel, and not just start screaming at him? How did Mike Wallace ever do that? And I got to thinking that, you know, part of that job, I guess, is maintaining a level of professionalism and maintaining a open enough dialogue that you can kind of let them do the work for you. My attitude going in today was like, I'll just give him enough rope, see if he hangs himself. And sure enough, yeah, sure enough, gave him enough rope and he hung himself. I sure hope that what we've done today has some benefit for the cannabis community. I will put both of those interviews up online as special segments on RadicalRust.com. So those will be posted after the show, the two interviews and the link to the Hemp Oil Hustlers report from Project CBD. Also, I've still got my feelers out, reaching out to folks at Project CBD to get them on the show, talk more about this. I think the more we can get out about this information and about this company and these people, the better. We are the ones that have to safeguard the legacy and the future of how people perceive marijuana and medical marijuana. It's up to us to call out the hemp oil hucksters. Well, folks, that's all the time I got. Time flies when you legalize. The Blazers won yesterday, so we got a game 5 coming up tomorrow. Let's hope we can do better in Memphis. Looking forward to that. Stay tuned, 8 o'clock tonight. You've got Electric Bob's Boogaloo coming up with some electronic music, another Frankie Knuckles mix. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.